Welcome to An Orderly Account with Pastor John Stews, where, from the book of Acts, we're learning how the Holy Spirit of God is filling the earth with the kingdom of Jesus. All are welcome to join us for worship at Church of the King, each Lord's Day at Kingdom Builder Books in Roseville. We celebrate family integrated worship with the hearty singing of psalms and hymns, the proclamation of God's Word, and weekly communion. Go online to orderlyaccount.com to learn more about us. Now, here's Pastor John Stews.
God has moved in some very incredible ways in these early days of the church. And we know from church history that He can and does, at many points in history, continue to move in such ways. However, we learned as we considered Peter's miracles that we have been given, or they have been given, so that we would understand that the major advances that Christendom has made, especially in the areas of healthcare and hygiene and basic living, have produced even greater miracles. These advances, in fact, especially for the American church, have brought so many blessings that we sadly take most of them for granted. I want us to see this morning that it is much the same with this example of Peter's preaching that has been given. Just as we saw at Pentecost, there is a miraculous response. And we tend to want the Spirit to keep working in exactly that same way. Now, certainly God can move people as He pleases. And we still see examples of this extraordinary outpouring of the Spirit in our day. No matter what our theological differences might be, there is no disputing that Pastor Billy Graham was greatly used of God over the years. And we have some people with us this morning who were greatly blessed by his ministry. We had the privilege of hearing from Pastor Glenn Cole at a pastor's luncheon that I attended this week. And in part, he recounted how blessed it's been for him to see God turning so many people to repentance at Trinity Church right here in Sacramento over the past 2 years. We are not to disparage nor be jealous of these movements of God's Spirit. But as we learned last year in comparing miracles and healthcare, we must realize that God more often than not uses ordinary means rather than extraordinary means. This is something that we are reminded of, or should be reminded of, each and every year as we move through the church calendar. You know, we come to that half of the year that we call ordinary time. And it might seem tedious as we announce or put on the front page of the bulletin that we are today in the 14th Sunday of ordinary time. And next week, surprise, it's going to be the 15th Sunday of ordinary time. And then the 16th and the 17th until we reach the Advent season. But you see, this is the pattern that we see in so much of life. For example, we have been blessed with many, many covenant children here in our little congregation at Church of the King, little Frederick Clarence being the newest addition yesterday afternoon, if you haven't heard. And our prayer is certainly that they would grow to be faithful servants of God. That's our desire for all of our children. But you see, if we step back and kind of look at it from a managerial or efficiency standpoint, starting them all off as children is not very efficient. I mean, after all, God made Adam as an adult from the dust of the ground. He could have continued to do that with everybody, and it would have saved us a whole lot of trouble. But it is not how He has chosen to populate the earth with His saints. He commissions sinful parents with the task of raising covenant children. When's the last time you let one of your toddlers handle the fine china? We tend to not do that, don't we? And yet God has entrusted to us these precious children. And after we have come before the Lord and said, I can't handle this, I give them back to you, and we have them baptized, and the church gives them back to the parents and says, no, it's your job. We'll be your helpers. The process begins. Mom changes that first diaper. And then she changes the second diaper. Maybe Dad helps on the third. Then there's the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, and then fortunately, we don't even remember how many we have to change before they're potty trained. But that's just the beginning. Now you've got a potty trained toddler, it's time for them to come into the kitchen. Really mess things up. And disrupt our meal times as they learn how to eat properly with other members of the family. And after that comes speech and reading. Then I got to teach them critical thinking, how to grow into maturity. All of these processes of child rearing come with the same type of tedious day-by-day activities, not unlike those changing of the diapers. But Lord willing, after many years of such training, we come to see them serving in God's church as the next generation. Soon Dad is walking his daughter down the aisle to put her in the hands of a faithful husband. We're watching his son blossom in his vocation. And I can tell you that comes a lot faster than you think, those of you that have young children. Mom smiles as she sees the fruit of her work. Work which also continues as she then takes on the role of continuing to train the next generation and prepare them to train the next generation. This is what it means to live in ordinary time in Christ's church. And the same principle applies in so many areas. Marriages always begin with two people who must learn to live with one another. We weren't born that way. And if it's a young couple that's getting married, they don't have very much life experience to help them deal with that. But if you're older, well, then you've just been single and learned a lot of habits that you're probably going to have to unlearn in living with someone. So there's just no perfect age where if we just got everybody married right then, it would just be really easy. And I'll tell you, if we think that diapers and dishes and child rearing is tedious, that does not hold a candle to what is required for a man and a woman to grow together to become one flesh. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of fun along the way. But if we are going to enjoy the full blessing of marriage, we must learn to be obedient in all the little ways that are required of us day by day by day. Another thing to consider are young men. They take off and they begin their career often thinking, oh boy, here's the end of my freedom, but not realizing that it is the beginning of a lifetime of enjoyment of his vocation. And the blessing is here not because of the certain vocation. Oh boy, I get to be whatever your favorite vocation is. But rather because, Lord willing, he will be faithful in whatever vocation God has chosen him to do. We live in a nation of great freedom. Our young men do get to choose which profession, by and large, they would like to excel in. But imagine if we were a church in the Soviet Union or even Communist China still today. The career choices are made for you. And in the days of the Iron Curtain, those career choices were always bad in the world's view for Christians. And yet, those Christian men, having learned hundreds of hymns as children, could joyfully serve even in those conditions. Getting to work on time each day is a tedious thing, but it's important and it's a blessing. doing the work that you are called to do above and beyond what is required of you, whether or not your boss appreciates it. We must have the same vision for establishing our work as a young parent has for their child. These principles apply whether you choose to work for someone else or set out to establish your own business. And in the end, Lord willing, we look back at all that has been accomplished as we grow into old age, and we all will, seeing that it has come not all at once, but it grew over time. That ordinary time with the faithful actions of each day building one upon another. I got this far and realized that I once again had started my sermon with the application. And that's, I know I'm going to get in trouble down at the seminary, but I did it. And I did it because these are important things for us to review and to listen to and to learn. But it is also important, I think, to begin with that focus so that we don't learn the wrong lesson from our text this morning. This text is revealing to us a special, miraculous occurrence, not an ordinary one. And sadly, our temptation in this life is to try and short-circuit or avoid the ordinary tasks that build the kingdom. In our flesh, we would much rather experience the dramatic than the ordinary. Thinking back to our examples, you know, we kind of want those children who don't need discipline. We want to arrange a life so that we can have them off with child care and schools to do all that tedious and hard work, and then we can just have them when it's fun. And then, of course, now we sit around and wonder why we have so many spoiled brats on our hands. And, of course, young people, oh boy, we want our marriages to be just like those ones that are portrayed in Hollywood. That's the exciting stuff. We want to make sure that we run into that man or woman where it's love at first sight. You know that special look? And then the music starts to build, and they have that first special kiss, and pretty soon they've prematurely skipped over all the hard work of courtship and engagement and having a real relationship, and they just go right to defiling the marriage bed. And we think that's great. That's what the world puts up as the example of what a great loving relationship is. And we wonder why nobody today is content and we have a divorce rate that exceeds 50%. If you want a real relationship, don't look to Hollywood. If we violate God's principles, things will be a mess. And sadly, this is even what many churches and ministries have focused on as well. We don't want to do the hard work of training saints to be able to survive years of medical training so that they can be the doctors and nurses who will help the sick. Oh no, no, much easier to just have some healing services every week. That'll take care of our sick people who need doctors. We don't want to do the hard work of training up covenant children to be faithful disciples all of their lives. We would rather enjoy them while they're young. Let them sow a few wild oats in their youth and then get them saved at a youth camp or some revival. God has miraculously healed people down through the ages, and He has certainly saved a lot of foolish people at revival meetings or church services. But if we are serious students of God's Word, we see that these are extraordinary examples, like our text, that are to encourage us in our faithful, ordinary service. Would I like to preach a sermon where thousands are saved like at Pentecost? and get baptized the very same day? Well, sure. Who wouldn't? Would I like to hold a miracle service on Wednesday night and bring down little Elijah, who, if you haven't heard, broke his arm yesterday, and just have that broken arm healed right on the spot? And Doug Spence, who wasn't able to be with us this morning because of his heart, bring Doug down and just have him get a whole new healthy heart right on the spot. Rip that pacemaker right out and say, praise God. It'd be exciting, wouldn't it? But you see, that's not what God has called me to do. I have been called to be a faithful shepherd, serving the saints here at Church of the King. My obligation is to lead you all in right worship each Lord's Day and to faithfully preach God's Word. The results are in God's hands. And I'm sure that over the years, there will be many, many good things that happen as a result of my faithfulness. Probably a lot of things that I'll not even be aware of. I've found that in the past. On the other hand, sadly, there are probably going to be some things that I will proudly point to and take credit for. What a great job I did. Which in the end, I'll find out where the wood, hay, and stubble that get burned off as God judges our works. The important point is that each of you has been called to the role that you are to play in the advance of God's kingdom. And nobody here has a role that is more important than anybody else's. Peter got to preach the sermon that day. But those men who came with him, whose names we don't even know, were there as the witnesses, which were important when they went back to Jerusalem, as we'll find out. We know a lot about Cornelius. We know nothing about his friends or family. And yet they were there to be part of this great advance in Christ's kingdom. Your service does not have to be dramatic or flashy. It needs to be faithful and consistent. You see, Hollywood and the world are into flashy and dramatic. If you ever went to watch a movie that just covered, you know, what the average housewife did from Monday through Saturday, probably wouldn't be a box office special, would it? And yet, what's more important in God's kingdom? It needs to be wherever God has called you. Your service needs to be faithful and consistent. So in closing, I want us to once again think about the similarity that I mentioned last week with Simeon, who held the baby Jesus at the temple, and Cornelius, who called Peter to hear the gospel. God is breaking down the wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. We've been studying that for several weeks. He is doing so as the Spirit prepares to take the kingdom of Jesus throughout the whole earth. And I think it is very fitting that we see God touching the life of a faithful Jew and the life of a faithful Gentile as He teaches us how we are all dependent completely on His grace. In both cases, Simeon and Cornelius, we see faithful men practicing the principles that we should learn during ordinary time. Consider what we know from just the brief information we are given about each man, both of whom we know only because of Luke's accounts. Here is what Luke says of Simeon from chapter 2 back in his gospel. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Compare this with how Luke describes Cornelius at the beginning of chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what is called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, and who gave alms generously to the people, and prayed to God always. Both men described as just and devout. Both men faithfully serving God as they waited for salvation. In both cases, we find these men having the Spirit of God or an angel speaking to them, giving them instruction. In Luke chapter 4, verse 26, we read, "And it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And the angel spoke to Cornelius, saying, 'Your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God.'" We know that God speaks to us as well, rewarding faithful service with faithful instruction, right here in God's Word. If we are ready and willing to hear. And finally, we see obedience. That is to be a natural result of hearing God's instruction and obeying them. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In Luke chapter 4 again, it says, "So Simeon came by the Spirit to the temple. He obeyed. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory to your people Israel.'" But you see, again, it's an example to us. The birth of Jesus was both extraordinary and ordinary. Jesus was indeed the Son of God, the Word made flesh. But Jesus was the Son of Mary. He was a baby. Such is the case with our faithful works. They are empowered and directed by the Holy Spirit, and they are carried out with human hands. It is not necessary for us to see the miracles of Peter or to have been there for the reaction to his preaching to know that this is true in our lives. We have the promises of God. I can confidently bring God's Word each week because of the promise that was given to the prophet Isaiah. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall not, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I have sent it." Not because I can read it well, not because I can exegete it well, not because I'm smarter than anybody else, but because it is the Word of God. As mom changes that diaper, she can remember the promise that if she trains up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. That child knows the promise of the Word, that a blessed long life is available to them if they honor their father and their mother. And men, as we work at our vocations, or young men, as you learn to work in your vocations, it is good to claim the promises of Psalm 90 that God would establish the work of our hands. And finally, the Apostle Paul teaches us that if we faithfully grow in our marriages, in the loving relationships that God determines for us to have, we will be demonstrating to a watching world the very love that Jesus has for His bride, the church. May we learn the right lessons from these just and devout men that Luke has presented to us.
Thank you for listening to An Orderly Account from Church of the King in Roseville. Pastor John Stews will continue to encourage you in this series next week at the same time. Church of the King welcomes any interested individuals, couples, or families to join us Sunday mornings at 11 for worship at Kingdom Builder Books in Roseville. We're a pro-life, pro-family church, preaching the Word and celebrating communion each week. To learn more about us, visit us at orderlyaccount.com or call 916-451-5660. My Jesus.